Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Jonathan Sayer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies to help me interpret the headlines pouring all around us about the Strait of Hormuz. Reuters: Iran escalates attacks across Gulf. Trump says U.S. reinstating naval blockade. Subhead: U.S. and Iranian forces exchanged missiles and drone attacks and clashed over control of the Strait of Hormuz, as President Trump said the U.S. would be reimbursed 20% on all cargo shipped through the Strait of Hormuz. I believe there have been five rounds of shoot and shoot back between Iran and its neighborhood and the U.S. Many of the capitals of the Gulf Cooperation Council have been struck or they've been aimed at. And it looks like we're back to the fighting before the memo of understanding. So I welcome you, Jonathan, to help me sort this through. Iran is showing its teeth. It's showing that it does have lots of missiles that it had successfully hidden or buried from the first onslaught of the U.S. Navy. It shows that it's willing to shoot its neighbors, at its neighbors, especially American bases at its neighbors. Is there anything new here? Is this rinse repeat of the events of March and April? Good evening to you.
Good evening. One thing that does stand out compared to the previous rounds of escalations is that Israel is, interestingly enough, not involved. And that says a lot about both of their calculation, but mostly about Tehran's. Because Iran knows, even if they were to further attack the Gulf Arab states, these countries would not retaliate directly. On the other hand, it's under the impression that the United States' retaliation would be limited more or less to the military installations, and it's not going to be that significant. Whereas Tehran thinks Israeli responses are oftentimes much more intense, with major implications. They could be assassinations, they could be going after energy infrastructure, or it could be something domestic to somehow spur unrest. So because of that, the nature of the conflict now is a bit different than it was a few months ago. But some people think that it's not in anyone's interest to pursue full-scale war, but Iran is putting Trump in a box. And at this point, he doesn't have any option to respond meaningfully.
The blockade on Iranian ports, what is your measure of the Iranian suffering through those blockaded months and turning it back on? This is shipping to and from, in other words, a way to earn money and a way to be resupplied. Is the turning it off now, is that a blow to the regime in Tehran? Is that a blow to vital resources? What was coming in, do we know?
The most significant blow to Iran's economy, of course, is the blockade. And the way to look at it is it's the perfect physical manifestation of the maximum pressure campaign, because sanctions, to an extent, were preventing, of course, Iranian oils to go to Europe, Asia, and other parts of the world. But the blockade actually prevented them from going to China and getting smuggled. It was the only time that the exports had actually dropped to zero. And the regime officials themselves, if you don't take my word for it, take their word for it when they said the economic situation because of the blockade can pose an existential threat. On one hand, you have protests. On the other hand, you have your inability to pay your own people. So if you run out of cash, these mercenaries that are ideological, but some are just effectively there for status, losing them might mean losing power. So it's quite significant. And ending it on this note, that the situation of no war, no peace can only benefit the United States if the blockade is in place. Of course, we remove the sanction, but the blockade itself, paired with the continuation of maximum pressure and even more sanctions, would arrive us again at a point of having more leverage on Tehran than the other way around.
The burial on July 8th, former Ayatollah's body was taken to the holy cities of Najaf and Karbala, which are in Iraq, and the crowd was estimated at in the millions. Some said 2 million, some said 1 million, a whole lot of people. I also note that gathering together were all the dignitaries, past and present, of the region, those who are still in good favor. Maliki was there from Iraq, for example. There was a delegation from Yemen. There was a delegation from all manner of the Gulf Cooperation Council. Is this significant? Did this heal wounds, or is this just a day that everybody decides not to throw something at the guy across the aisle?
It depends what countries from the GCC actually attended. But before that, talking about Iraq, of course, you can never over-exaggerate Iran's foothold across that country. So this definitely not a surprise. And similar with pro-regime rallies inside Iran, oftentimes as militias besiege IRGC members or Iraqi militias, their families, their bureaucrats and civilian affiliates. So that is not necessarily a surprise. But if you look at the delegations, for example, the United Arab Emirates did not send one. That was significant. So the countries that are gradually pivoting towards, of course, Abraham Accords and pivoting away from Iran are no longer appeasing it like we had maybe speculated. The other angle of looking at the funeral is when the Emir of Qatar died years ago, they held some sort of a memorial for him in Gaza. But when Khamenei died, the Palestinian factions effectively did nothing, and Mahmoud Abbas condemned him. So that in itself tells you that this situation, at least based on the perception of a lot of Arab states, is that the Islamic Republic is standing on its last feet, but it's not to say it is not lethal, and it's not to say it cannot survive this. So everyone is more so eyeing Washington and Israel's response more so than what Iranian regime is spreading or propagating worldwide.
The memo of understanding may or may not be still in effect. It depends on the diplomat. However, in the memo of understanding was linkage between Tehran and Beirut, between the Islamic Republic and Hezbollah. Is that gone by the boards, or is that still in place as far as the regime is concerned? We don't have peace until Hezbollah has peace.
Looking at the different articles of the MOU, the significant ones, or practically you can say all of them, have collapsed. The two sides are firing at each other directly. The Strait of Hormuz is being throttled by the Islamic Republic. There are new sanctions against Iran, and the blockade might be put back in place. And the Lebanon angle was just only one of these many pillars. But this goes back to Israeli strategy again. They're, to an extent, keeping the situation calm in that area. Hopefully, I guess, looking at at least hoping to see what the national Lebanese government will do. They're trying to at least play ball on the surface and show the Trump administration that they are more or less trying to work. But interestingly enough, Hezbollah has not initiated hostilities on that end either, which is a sign in its way that maybe Iran does not want to reinstigate full-scale war, which is maybe why they told Hezbollah to stand this one down, why they gradually escalate on the Persian Gulf front. So from Tehran's perspective, they're not trying to project total regional war quite yet.
We have about 30 seconds. Is this rough negotiation from Iran's point of view, a sort of playing tough at the bazaar?
Yes and no, but the way to look at it is this is shooting while talking. And the question is, when will the president realize that shooting while talking does not necessarily yield results? But more importantly, you cannot secure behavior change when you're dealing with an ideological and paranoid Islamic Republic.
There is the observation that bombing makes the population rally to you, not drive them away. Is that happening in Iran? Is the population rallying the more bombing happens?
We saw protests take place against the regime today as we speak, this afternoon, Iran time. So the situation on the ground certainly suggests otherwise.
Jonathan Saya, Senior Research Fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. The memo of understanding may be still on, but the bombing is also still on. I'm John Batchelor.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This episode was sponsored by We Feed Raw. Feeding dogs real food should not feel complicated. With We Feed Raw, it doesn't. Complete and balanced raw meals are customized for each dog's size, age, and activity level, then delivered right to the door. Just thaw, serve, and feed. No prep, no guesswork, no trying to figure out portions alone. Inside every meal is the highest quality meat, nutrient-rich organs, and premium nutrition designed to support better digestion, healthier skin and coats, and lasting energy. Real food, made practical for real life. Visit WeFeedRaw.com to get started and see today's best offer.